You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 14. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Please find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. You can also listen to these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether they've DIY built their booth in their closet for $300 or bought their top-of-the-line whisper room, the MDL-102186E, at $33,750. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell, and you received your very first review on Voices.com yesterday, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting VoiceActorsShowcase.com. Now, stop by VoiceMoto.com/store to pick up a really cool, introverted, but willing to discuss voice acting t-shirt for yourself or a fellow voice actor. Of course, the proceeds from the t-shirt sales will go to supporting the show, as well as supporting the voice actors that come on this program. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. Born and raised in Fitchburg, he found his creative outlet through theater. He honed his skill of characterization with each production, and it eventually led him to more acting classes in Boston, where he met a number of key players who would forever change his life. He actively engaged with those individuals and tirelessly improved his acting. As a result of his hard work and determination, he landed significant career milestones, one after the other. He's the voice of Cody, an AI-enabled robot smart toy for children that sings, tells stories, and reminds them it's time to brush their teeth. The kicker is, he has a full-time day job and works as a voice actor by night, a true testament to the fact that hard work and hustle can bring great things, even if you're not full-time. We'll hear his story of his journey so far and where he plans to go from here. Please welcome Guy Chase.
One Vu Bird's Act of Compassion. Once upon a time, there was a very hot-tempered king. For pleasure, he liked to hunt animals. During one of his hunting trips, the king aimed his arrow at a fox, but missed. The fox ran and hid in a bush. The king fumed, and he ordered his soldiers to find the fox. However, the fox was nowhere to be found. Out of anger, the king ordered his soldiers to burn down the forest. He got great satisfaction watching the trees burn and hearing the animals suffer in pain. Suddenly, a white One Vu bird appeared above the burning flames and tried to put out the fire. The bird flew to a nearby river, dipped itself in the water, flew back to the burning area, and shook the water off its feathers. It hoped that the spray of water would extinguish the fire and save the injured animals. Seeing that, the king was touched by the bird's compassion. He felt ashamed of his wrong actions and quickly ordered his soldiers to put out the fire. From then onward, the king prohibited anyone to hunt in the forest. One Vu Bird is one of the former lives of Sakyamuni Buddha.
Guy Chase, hello sir, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Doing great, how are you my friend?
I'm well, thank you very much. Thanks for being on.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Let's just dive right into it. You and I come from really, really similar places from our youth, and that's theater. What was the best part, right? Let's start from there. What was the best part of being a part of a theater family for you?
I think being in a room full of people that are all there for the same reason is a great feeling.
Yeah.
Knowing that everyone around you is there to have the same experience. It's just probably like the best feeling, honestly. Being on stage is one thing and making the crowd laugh is another thing, but being around everybody when you're rehearsing and doing everything that goes into the production, that is just something you can't lose it. Like, it's just the best thing. We had a big statewide tournament where we
Ooh.
All went. Yeah, we all went to this one big school, and, you know, there was all multiple schools performing, and we all got to sit down, and we all got to watch all these schools do their thing, and that was awesome too, because then again, everybody was in the room and everyone's there for the same reason. And got to meet all kinds of people, you know. And in high school, it's different because you're just meeting all these people that are doing exactly what you really want to do.
Yeah.
And it was like the beginning of networking for me, you know what I mean? It was just really, really exciting feeling. It was my first time going on a big trip like that and meeting all types of people. And that's something that I'll never forget. That even though like we didn't have like the most money or like the best production or the best sets or anything like that, I mean, it was still a great time.
That's awesome. I taught high school theater for 10 plus years and I didn't have a lavish budget. You know what I mean?
But yeah, of course.
It was more about connecting with each other. And my big thing was eating together as a group. I have this thing where I tell people, like, look, the caveman from the early whatever years always used to sit around the fire and eat together. You know, and there's something to be said about a group that's sitting down to eat together that creates this bond. I don't know. It's always worked well for me and my cast.
It's true. You know, you make a better relationship and it makes it a more comfortable experience for everybody on stage.
Everybody has to eat, you know?
And everyone has to eat.
So.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's bring the focus back to you. But I'm interested to find out how your theater experience has contributed itself, all the elements of being an actor and characterization and improv and all these stage presence. How do you translate all of this and how have you accessed it being a voice actor?
So I really have to thank theater for being there, because if I didn't do theater, I probably wouldn't have had those really great feelings of excitement and enthusiasm, which ultimately pushed me towards, you know, looking for an acting class after theater ended. Mm. You know, I had this like, it's like you're watching an incredible movie and then it just ends and you're just like, oh, I want more. And like, that's how I felt. So from there, I mean, it pushed me to try acting more. So I tried acting more and I looked into acting classes and, you know, I was having some fun with the acting classes, but through the same company, they were offering the voice acting classes. And I was like, oh, this sounds awesome.
Nice.
And I saw that they were offering an intensive it was like a couple weekends ahead. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely up for this. And without theater, I don't think I would have had that motive. I don't think I would have been as excited to go try that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being able to do theater was like a door opening to a realm that I would have never joined, you know, because one day in high school I did theater, but then someone came up to me and they were like, hey man, like you really got to audition for this musical. Like it's going to be fun. And you know, we all love you. It'd be so much fun. And I was like, I don't really sing too much. And I went in and I auditioned and I sang a song that I knew and the lady loved me and they cast me for the mean dentist in Little Shop of Horrors. And turned out that was like the best experience I've ever had in a theater. And my theater kind of ended after high school. You know, I pursued the voiceover kind of right after it. And I'm still like, I still really miss it. And I'd really like to get into it. But it just takes up so much time for me. It takes up a lot of time rehearsing. And, you know, it really does take a lot of time up. But like I said, If it wasn't for theater, I wouldn't be where I am today, I don't think.
Where would you be?
That's a good question, man. I'm not sure. Well, if I'm being honest with you, I do work like 5 days a week at a restaurant, but I also run a hockey team, a deck hockey team over right down the street from me.
Yeah.
I've been playing hockey since I was a little kid, so I'd probably just be focused on playing as much hockey as I possibly can.
Nice.
If I wasn't doing something like that, you know what I mean?
All right. I'd like to hear the story of you discovering voiceover for the first time. Tell us that story.
It was funny because I was always aware of it. I think growing up, I really knew. I just knew that there was someone back there, and I had like this thought, like, oh, that'd be so cool. Like, you could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always like, you know, you could do anything you want behind a microphone. You know, on a stage, you might be able to dress up as something, but when you're doing voiceover, you can be a breadcrumb behind the microphone. You know what I mean? You can be anything. But I think, I don't know, when I discovered it is when I took that first class. And they just, you know, they just put us to work. They gave us the scripts. They told us, hey, this is what it's all about. This is what they look for and, you know, everything. And then they got us in the booth and then throwing the headphones on for the first time and then having them just like put you through that boot camp of that first script of your life, you know, it's like, then you're like, oh, okay. Like I thought that, you know, I was really good at this, but then they pick you apart and then they end up like sculpting this incredible like read out of you. And you're like, wow, I did that. I mean, right after that intensive class, I was like, wow, I'm sticking with this. I'm going with this and I'm going to keep in touch with that engineer and I'm going to come back for one-on-one tutoring as much as I can. And,
yeah,
you know, I try to keep him in my life as much as I can. This was in 2015. And I was just at his studio on Tuesday night for class. You know, I'm still in touch with this guy. And I'm always trying to, you know, learn more things because this is a guy that mixes Super Bowl commercials. Of course I want to learn.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, this is somebody that I always want to be around that, you know, I want to learn from him because I know I'm not creating bad habits and I know I'm learning exactly what I want to learn.
Yeah.
The voiceover thing, it's incredible. But jumping into the world of, like, mixing and sound effects editing and Foley and all that stuff, it's like a whole nother world of, like, get me in there. You know what I mean? So.
Now, most actors are advised to go for commercials.
Yes.
Or audiobooks or other genres of voiceover that typically offer more opportunities. But you jumped in the direction of the most difficult thing in terms of breaking into the industry. What was your reasoning or what was your motivation maybe for going into the animation straight away?
I always felt that with animation, there was more opportunity. You know, I feel like everyone has their own original voice. You know, I mean, you might think that you sound normal, but, you know, everyone's different and everyone has their own, you know, their own niche. And I feel like animation, there's so many characters out there being created daily that there's always opportunity. And of course, like when you're doing a character, you got to focus on everything else besides, yeah, you know, just you got to cry, you got to be nervous, you got to be happy, you got to be excited, you got to be mad. You know, you can do a funny voice, but can you do all that? You know what I mean? And make it sound believable. And I know that's what makes it like a really hard industry to jump into. But it was just something that I always felt was so much fun, you know?
Yeah.
Seeing, like, you know, when you're standing in the booth and you're reading that line and you make them laugh out there and you know you're doing a good job, you know, like that stuff. That stuff is like what makes you want to keep going.
You know, speaking of the booth, you work out of your closet booth, as
yes,
many
sir.
Of us do. But your closet booth is treated for sound and it allows you to record some really big projects. Take us through how your closet was converted into a studio booth. Maybe even related to how the listeners that are listening that have closets in their home, how they could convert it to their specification to create better audio.
So with my closet, the only thing that the big downfall in my room is I had some wood, and the door is a thin type of wood. So first thing I did, and of course there's carpet on the floor, which is also a big plus. But coming into the closet, you know, it had, you know, regular walls, but there was a big pole going across with all my clothes. So I took the pole out, I took the clothes out,
yeah,
and I took all my acoustic foam. And I had, I don't know, maybe like, they're like, well, probably like 2x2 or something like that, you know, and I just lined them against the walls. And I have a couple of the bass traps as well on the front and the backside, kind of help with the lower frequencies. I mean, it was definitely not like professionally sound treated. It was sound treated for me to, you know, make sure that I can get some quality voiceovers.
Right.
But that's all it was. It was just some sound, some acoustic foam, a couple bass traps, and I have a moving blanket on the ceiling above me, and, you know, it's just, it's been working ever since. And I have in front of me, I just got this really long pole that I have a tablet. My tablet goes right on it, and I can read my scripts right off the tablet.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. It's like a perfect one-person booth. And if anyone at home has a closet and they want to do it, that go for it. I mean, it really wasn't that expensive, and it'll get you the work. I mean, I've worked with countless people just from home, and I've gotten some of my favorite jobs just from auditioning from this room. So definitely, definitely, if you're out there and you want to do it.
Nice. Know? I mean, pre-manufactured booths are thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like
you know
the
what
whisper
I mean?
Rooms. Yep.
And if you have the space and the available, if you have a walk-in closet, I mean, what a luxury.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
Awesome. And then the creation of the studio and this continued working relationships with the audio engineer at the studio has led you to some really interesting opportunities, right? The internship at Bay State College, I'd love to hear more about that story.
So for a while, I mean, after 2015, I always kept in touch with him. You know, I went back for him for new voice reels. I went back for animation reels. He showed me some things on Pro Tools, and I talked about some processing things on my voice. And, you know, I just consistently went back, and then once I started, like, really getting into Pro Tools, then I was like, hey, like, I really, like, this was right before Christmas. I was like, hey, like, I really want to come back down to the studio, and I want to learn some more things on Pro Tools because I'm trying to dive in and get a lot better at this. And I said, I'm going to save some money up, and I'll come out, and I'd like to do another session. And he said, hey, I'm doing class for Bay State College. It's an audio post-production class. It's 14 weeks. And if you want to come in as like my assistant or my intern, you can come in for the 14 weeks.
Wow.
I'll be doing all the teaching. You can be doing all the learning, and it won't cost you anything. And I was like, wow. I was like, I am definitely going to be there every Tuesday, half hour early. Like, I was like, I will be there. So, and I have been there a half hour early every single time. So I'm always there on time, and I'm always there early.
Nice.
It's just, you know, just Tuesday we were going over some really good stuff, and I was like, wow, I'm like really lucky to get some type of opportunity from a person like this that didn't have to do that for me. You know, he could have said, yeah, like, I'll let you know and it'll be $250. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah.
He could have said that, but instead he found that, you know, I was passionate for it and he wanted me in there to learn. So now I'm in there, and you know, there's a few other kids in the class, probably around my age. There's only like 4 other people in the class, but they don't have much knowledge on the Pro Tools or voiceover in general or anything post-production. So that was kind of my time to shine and, you know, jump in and show them things along the way. And we're going to be breaking off into teams. And, you know, Brian even said, hey, Eddie's going to go up in Studio B with you guys, and I'll be down here with you guys. And of course I didn't say anything, but inside I was like, holy crap. Like, I get to go up there and like show these guys things and like, you know, come back down and show them like what I was able to direct and produce for these guys. And
yeah.
That's something that was like, wow. Like I couldn't stop like thanking the guy. I almost felt bad. I was like, thank you so much. Like it means a lot, you know, because he's given you the tools to get on your way the right way, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how that came about. And it was just really me. Like my dad always said to, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, man. And I was always talking to this guy and always reaching out and asking questions because I knew he had the right answers. You know, he was like my encyclopedia for voiceover and for Pro Tools.
I think it's super important to have that mentor for everybody, really.
Yeah, of course.
Just from talking to you here like this, I can tell that you really, really enjoy your work. And I've told everyone that I've ever met who's in the industry or not, I think that's super important to enjoy and have fun with it. And it's not just about the voice. It's about the process of recording and what other things the microphone can do. Let's talk about sound design that you love to do as well. You create your own soundscapes at home for fun. What exactly do you do?
I'll open up a session and I'll get an idea. Maybe, for example, I found I was just scrolling through sounds trying to get some inspiration, and I found it sounded like an off-road truck, you know, and it just sounded like a really nice engine sound. And as soon as I heard it, I saw this whole scene in my head, and I was like, wow, I'm going to make that.
Oh.
So, you know, I see this truck, and I just pictured like a zombie apocalypse and some guys on the back with a gun, and you know, they're going through these sand dunes, you know? So I had this in my head, and what I would do is I would just, you know, find all the sounds that I think would fit the best, and I would put them all together and make, you know, make my own little scene. But it's something that I find to be so fun, being able to let somebody listen to it and then see it in their head and be like, yeah, I know exactly what's going on right there.
If you have a sample that you're proud of, I would love to play it for the audience to see if they hear what you hear. I would love to see if I hear what you hear. Would you be willing to share that with us?
I probably could, yeah. I actually was really proud of it because of how it sounded and how it came out. I would like to share it with you.
Yes, and that audio will play now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see what you mean. Like, it's obviously clear, scuba gear, the bubbles coming going in and out of the water. Whoa, that's awesome.
Thank you. Try to make it as realistic as I possibly can, you know?
Yeah.
And every time I listen back, I always want to add more stuff. So there's always that one point where you're like, I got to stop.
Now, just for scales here, in that clip of the underwater scuba diving, how many audio files or sounds are like layered?
There's like two different atmospheres I have going on up top with like people outside, you know, on docks in the distance and things. And I also have seagulls and I have waves crashing in the background. And all of that kind of just, that happens in the matter of 2 seconds because you lose all that when you jump under the water.
Yeah.
So I have all of those. And then, of course, I have the person going into the water and I have a couple different splashes layered under each other for when you actually go into the water. And then a slight EQ on, you know, when you're going under the water to kind of lose the seagulls. You can kind of hear the seagulls up top for a little bit and then they fade out really quickly. But there's also probably like 15 to 20 layered things.
Wow.
I tried to keep as much as I could, you know, with like the underwater atmospheric, the legs kicking, the quick little sudden change in the water that makes him come back up. And then all those other sounds that you hear in the beginning kind of fade back in when he comes back up out of the water.
Wow. Do you sell these? Are these commercially available?
I haven't. No, I never thought about selling anything like that, no.
You should!
something so short, though, you know what I mean?
I mean, the audio that we just played is a small clip of a collection of sounds that you've created. And you have many, many, many more. And if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, that's what a sound designer does, right? Creates the atmosphere for something, whether it be a video game or a movie or whatever.
Yeah, and sound design is really the creation of sounds that have never existed.
Is there a place where we can go to listen to these?
So yeah, I usually post all of them on my Facebook, and they're going to be going up on my LinkedIn account as well. And I'm in the process of working on my website, so they'll be on my website as well.
Nice. And I say this only because being a voice actor is a really great thing to do and to have, obviously. But I'm always a proponent of having more things, more tools, more versatile ways to offer value to the client, you know? And Donald Guzzi, that I recently interviewed, used to work as a 5.0 surround sound designer. So he's in the kind of the same realm as you are. But he profits as a voice actor from as well as a sound designer. Maybe that's a direction. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I really like the aspect of working with anything sound related, like anything where I can put a scene together. If I can be a part of that, it'd be incredible. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's why I've been working a lot on, you know, constructing these things at home and trying to get better at, you know, training my ears to hear better. And, you know, I think that's why, like, I keep putting all these things together in all these little showcases is because I want to get better at it and I want to continue to work in that realm. Eventually work, if I could work on a game or an animation or anything of that sort, I'd love to. So whenever I do my own reels, I try and create all my own layered effects and everything like that instead of going to someone and saying, hey, can you do this for me? Because if I'm doing it, you know, I'm giving myself the knowledge and I'm putting it together the right way, the way I want it to sound, you know?
I really think you should reach out to independent or smaller studios, and there's plenty of them on YouTube and Twitter and everywhere, really, and offer your services. Hey, I'm a sound designer. I'd love to design soundscapes for your video games or animations or whatever it may be. And then you're like, I'm a voice actor too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Wow.
That's something that I have been thinking of for sure.
I hope that pans out for you. That'd be really awesome. Speaking of work, let's talk about your work. You're best known for voicing a robot smart toy called Cody. And this is straight from their website. Cody is an AI-enabled toy that provides children with over 200 fully curated classic songs and stories to provide developmental support outside of the classroom. Cody is a smart toy that sings songs, tells stories, and learns the child's preferences for a more personalized experience. Wow.
Yeah, Cody it's a really incredible project.
Tell me the story about landing this project, your experience working on it, and what it's done for you today.
I actually came across this as an audition on Upwork. I was on Upwork and I was looking for some things and I saw an audition for a smart toy for a kid and I was like, wow, that's really cool because, you know, I have this really, really big like for, you know, doing anything educational or anything for the younger generation and the younger minds. And so I auditioned for this and they contacted me and they said they loved it and they were going to test out the audition on a mock toy for the kids. So they uploaded my audition into the toy that they had and
yeah.
They showed the kids and the kids all listened to it and they listened to everyone else's and they all liked mine the most. And they thought that it was the most friendly and they thought that it was the most like, you know, and that is what was like, wow, like I'm like, it's good to know that a little kid is like really happy with the tone that they're hearing, you know, and it means that I know that like, you know, I know how to like approach that.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. So I landed it that way and I ended up talking to the founders and the co-founder and it was a really cool experience learning about it and what it was going to be all about and the whole process of them building it and seeing all the updates and actually knowing that they were putting all this serious work into it and that it was going to be a real thing.
Wow.
So we had to record a lot of stories. There was a lot of stories in Cody's voice, which was more like lessons that were like teaching. There's lessons and then there's actual stories. So the lessons kind of like, you know, teach them how to share or teach them about, you know, like having
friendship and
yeah, all of the simple things that are really important. And the fact that like, you know, maybe not everyone has a dad, maybe someone has two moms or someone has two dads, you know, things like that for the kids to really understand through Cody. And on top of that, there was also other stories, you know, like the Jungle Book or little things like that, which I got to read in my own regular reading story voice, which was cool. So they have Cody and then they have me in there too as well. But there's also a few other storytellers that are in there, which are really cool. And there's some women in there that do the songs. And so there's a wide range of people in there. But it was just cool to be considered Cody. You know what I mean? To take on that role and to be able to be put in all these homes and all these kids get to listen to me and, you know, and seeing all the good reviews and the good feedback. And, you know, I was so like, so nervous to see like, oh, I love the toy, but we just got to get a different voice on it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's been a really cool experience and it really opened up my eyes to how much I really enjoy doing the voiceover stuff for the younger generation and kids in general. And like, you know, like Discovery Kids or like little kid cartoons or like anything educational. I feel like that's like my realm. And lately I've been really pushing towards it as far as voiceover. Of course, I've been doing a lot of other things, regular voiceover wise, commercial radio, but that is just the realm I've been pushing towards because I feel like if I have a strength, why not push towards it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's something that I've been working on and that's something I'm kind of going to base my website around is, you know, catering my voice for the younger generation and the younger minds. And I always had this idea that I wanted them to take a virtual safari and put it onto Cody and I would do the soundscape for
it.
I thought it would be, well, you know, like they have outfits and it'd be really cool to get like maybe an Australian Explorer outfit and you get the Explorer outfit on and you upload it into the Cody and then, you know, you go on a virtual safari and now you got the kid going on a safari. You got him learning about animals, animal sounds, animal habits, and the nature around it. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's something that could be huge.
Wow.
And even if it's not on the toy, it's something that I'd like to create myself and showcase it because there might be people out there that want to hear that type of thing.
I love it. Wow. There's a question that's coming later about making some goals or telling me about some goals in 2020. It sounds like your goals for 2020 is already set.
I've just been really like thinking of like dialing in of on like what's important and what I need to do. And these are the things that are coming to my mind. So that's what I'm pursuing, you know?
Now you were born and raised in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, about an hour northwest from Boston, and you still live there. I'd love to know more about your city, Fitchburg. Tell me more about that place.
Well, it's not LA. It's really not that exciting of a place. And the neighboring town, Leominster, which is where I work, was also on one of the lists for the most boring places in the US. there's not much here besides, you know, we have a really big following for deck hockey in Fitchburg and Leominster, and we're starting, you know, it's starting to get really big. And they're starting this year as the inaugural season for the National Ball Hockey League, which is pretty big. So that's something that's really big around here is we do play a lot of hockey. And that's something that I've been a part of my whole life, and it's something that I don't ever want to lose, and it's something that keeps me here.
Yeah.
It's just a regular old town, you know, it's not exciting. There isn't much, you know, there's a couple restaurants here and there, but, you know, it's just, it's not big and booming. You know what I mean? That's why I have to go to Boston, and that's why I drive out there for auditions, and I was able to do a remote audition today, luckily. I didn't want to have to go there on both of my days off.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was good. I did that right before you called.
But I would think that because of your proximity to New York, I would imagine New York would be the better place. If you ever consider relocating, would you consider moving to New York in the future?
I don't know. I never really thought about living in a big city.
Hmm.
That's something that the driving and, you know, all the loudness and things like that, you know, it never really excited me. I don't know. You know, of course, I like going into the big buildings for my voiceover work, but I don't want to. It's just living around there, and it feels too tight and loud.
Yeah.
And everyone seems agitated all the time, you know?
They are. It's because they are.
Very true.
Okay. Now, the following questions are questions I ask everybody. I'd love to know what you started out with and what you're using now.
I started out with a USB Blue Yeti. And I had a little fold-open booth, you know what I mean? Like, they're really small, like, you open it up and you got some foam attached.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, I got it. Like, I got it made. Like, I was like, I got everything. So I was using that, and I was recording in front of my computer screen, and I would sit there and look over, make sure I could see over my little microphone stand. And that's how I started doing my voiceovers.
Yeah.
From there, I upgraded to a Rode NT1A.
Nice.
And a Focusrite Scarlett Solo. No, not a Solo. I have a Solo now. But it was a Focusrite 2i2.
Ah.
And I was using that up until 3 or 4 months ago. I got a Warm Audio WA87.
Oh, yeah.
Works really well. I absolutely love it. I haven't had any issues and landed a couple gigs with it so far. So, I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good with it, and I like it. I was also, back in the day, recording on, like, I wasn't even using studio monitors. And then I upgraded to some Behringer 4.0s, MS-40s, or something like that. And then the left speaker shot, and I recently upgraded to Aeris 3.5s. And
oh, yeah.
They sound really good. They have a really good low end and way better than my older ones, and they take up less space, and I know I'm getting better quality mixes at this point. So that's where I'm at now.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, the Aeris 3.5s have served me really well so far. Oh, yeah. Now, Pro Tools is considered industry standard in most studios in LA, New York, everywhere in the world, really. Is Pro Tools hard to learn?
So Pro Tools wasn't hard to learn, coming from me using Ableton for a few years. The way I look at it is, if you're using it every day, you're going to get better at it. You know, you just have to keep using it. And I would recommend Pro Tools, because if you have Pro Tools, then you're already starting on the right path to making good habits and working with the high industry standard things. So as soon as I learned that I needed Pro Tools, I got Pro Tools and I learned it. And that's all I've been editing with ever since. And I don't think it's hard. It's hard if you make it hard.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's awesome that you can learn Pro Tools on your own. I mean, there's so much resources out there now. YouTube videos and articles and endless resources. There's really no excuse anymore.
And my mentor helped me a lot with it, and introduced me to certain plugins, and even the process of which the plugin should be used. It was a huge help.
Mm-hmm.
Putting certain things before others is really important to remember. And that's a big one.
Showcase by doing. I think that's a really common theme that's really showing through this interview with you. You showcase your skills by doing it.
You have to do it.
And that's a message I've been trying to send through these episodes to everybody that are listening. There are so many people that are thinking about A, B, and C. Do it. You know?
Yeah, you can't say, oh, I might get it. No, you're going to get it. Like, you have to. Because if you're doing voiceover and you don't want to pay $30 a month for Pro Tools, and then that month you land a $150 gig, Now, look at that. You just have a $150 gig. You just paid for Pro Tools for 2 months. But you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like, that's the way you look at it. You just got to reinvest. And it's really important to learn those industry standard things, you know?
Now, over the years, I'm sure you've gone through many clients and booked many different gigs and created a lot of different soundscapes. Through all of this, as a whole, what have you learned about yourself as a person and as a voice actor?
I learned that no matter what you do as far as voiceover and you're hitting and you're doing an audition, you really need to make sure that you don't get down on yourself after you leave that audition and you don't, you know, you don't get upset if you don't make it. Because if you don't get picked, so what? There's hundreds of companies out there that might want you next time. You know, so that's one thing I learned is to not be discouraged and to always make sure that you're taking another breath right before you start to read that script. Just stop, pause, take another breath, and then go for it. And, you know, those are the things that I learned is just not to be discouraged and to make sure that you're always, always, always looking for something else.
Perfect. Absolutely. Well, Guy, the next time I'm in Pittsburgh, Massachusetts, I am taking you out for drinks.
Which will be never.
Don't say never. It might happen.
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it.
Fine. I'll pick you up in Pittsburgh and we'll drive
that
to
works.
Boston.
Yeah, that works.
What do you order to drink?
Tall Blue Moon, man. Tall Blue Moon with an orange slice in it.
Okay. Okay, a Boston guy through and through.
Yes, sir. That is the go-to drink, man.
Fantastic. What's next for you, Guy? What do you have coming up? Where do you go from here? And finally, if the listeners would like to find out more about you, where do they go?
What's next for me is continuing learning mixing and audio post-production and trying my best to land a job in that field, as well as doing voiceover full-time, part-time at the same time. Those are my biggest goals, really, for 2020. I'm just trying to focus on those, honestly. I really just keep pushing forward and, of course, creating my website. That's another one. So as of right now, if people want to learn more about me, they can check out my LinkedIn and they can check out my Facebook page. Yeah, and that's this guy's voice.
Very good. And both links will be available in the description down below, of course. I really hope this soundscape thing pans out for you. You obviously have a passion for it, and I'd really like for you to get paid for it, you know?
I really do like it. I guess the thing for me is trying to pinpoint exactly, you know, how I would go about even selling such a thing. I never thought about selling them as much as me just creating them and making up scenes in my head and, you know, showing people like, hey, this is what I like to make.
Well, hell, we did funny voices when we were children, and look at us now.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly.
Awesome. Hey, Guy, thank you very much for your time and spending some time here with me today. It was a lot of fun having this conversation with you. Thanks.
Yeah, that was exciting, man. I had a great time.
Have a good day, okay?
Hey, man, take care.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.